you. It is your boy.
No, it's your boy.
No, just kidding.
That's gross.
Jackson didn't like that, so it's not your boy.
I did not like that.
It is everybody's boy, your host of this podcast, Braden Ledbetter.
It's the boys.
And Jackson Daleen, welcome, hello.
Welcome back. We had to take a week off because Braden's a busy lad. And if you're just joining us for the first time, this is not usually how we open our show, but today is a crazy day.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because I want to start throwing in curveballs of how we do it, because sometimes I feel like our episodes are a bit robotic of just how we're like,
it's very hello and welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I am just going to give you curveballs, make it interesting, change it up here and then.
Yeah, there we go.
You changed it up for sure. I don't know how I feel. That was a
little too much.
You just threw it to the crowd.
Throwing a wrench in our plans. But Jacksonian, what has it been up, dude? We haven't talked in like 2 weeks.
You and I message all the time. I still talk to you.
All right, we haven't talked in with a recording light.
We haven't
in our
recorded
face.
Ourselves talking. Yeah, that's fair. I'm good. I think in the last time we did record, I pretty much started and finished Fallen Star.
Mm-hmm.
I went completely through it. And I am about a third into Midnight Horizon.
Very cool.
Pretty good. I've been enjoying it. Not a lot. I'm trying to think. That's pretty much been the butt of it. I'm trying to finish Midnight Horizon. And then I'll go back to the Thrawn trilogy. And God, I'm trying to think.
Once you read Midnight Horizon, will you be 100% caught up on High Republic?
Mission to Disaster. Mm. I need to catch up on the comics. I haven't read past issue 12 of both lines.
Gotcha.
My comic guy is going to a comic show in St. Louis, and I gave him a pull list to see if he can find some. And I asked him to find Eye of the Storm number one. And this was the comic news I wanted to talk about. The last IDW High Republic comics came out today.
Today, March 2nd.
Today, March 2nd. So I asked him to grab that as well, which I think will be really cool. It'll be really neat. So hopefully I'll get those and I'll buy them off that guy. We're not recording the video, but you can see it. I bought High Republic number six. Yeah. And this is when Eivar leads the Jedi to fight the Drengir.
Oh yeah.
And very cool. She's riding a Rancor. It's cool. Yeah. That's about it. I haven't done much. Haven't gotten much with figures or anything, and that's all. How about you? What have you been up to?
So I hit up Saga Toys again a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Probably, I think it was last weekend actually.
Anything good?
And I was just like walking around, just like looking at stuff. And I was like, man, I don't really, they had like a lot of new like Funko Pops. And I was like, man, I don't really collect those very much. I only have like four.
Right.
But then I came across this really cool director series, J.J. Abrams Funko.
Ooh.
And I was like, whoa, this is cool. And it's only $10. That's Ooh. Mine. I own that now.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
grabbed it and I checked out. And I now have a J.J. Abrams Funko Pop standing over there next to my red chrome Mandalorian. And so that was very exciting when I came across that.
Any good Black Series there that they had?
They did have. So
they've been having
Berta,
some good
friend of the
stuff.
Show, was with me, and he picked up the Cad Bane. He had a Black Ooh, Series Cad Bane.
I think that was there the last time I was there, too. I bought Mando.
Yeah, Steven picked that up, and he said he's going to go back. He just got his tax return, so he's going to go back and pick up Cal Kestis.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Aura Sing, I think.
That's cool. Yeah, that Aura Sing was there.
He's trying to collect all the Black Series of all the bounty hunters.
That's cool. I dig that.
So yeah, he's looking for like a Bossk and a
you'll have to find that on like eBay.
Oh yeah. All those obscure ones that you're not gonna find anywhere.
Target last night and they had the Scout Trooper from Mandalorian, and I almost picked that up. I thought it was pretty
they
cool.
They had a last time I went there was a tech from Bad Batch.
Yeah, I've seen
Black Series.
The new wave is dropping with Target. That's included with the new Ahsoka Tano and the Death Watch for Mandalorian.
Oh, very cool.
And I really want that Death Watch one. That's the one I'm trying to jump on, so I'm hoping I can see that at some point. I haven't bought in a while. The problem is they're getting expensive, the ones I want.
Yeah.
I dropped like 40 on Mando. It was like,
oh, really?
I was like, can't do that again.
Yeah, but it's just like, you got to have him.
I know. That was the exception. He's not great. I hate his cape. I think I'm going to try and find like a replacement. Yeah, I bought Anakin and Obi-Wan, dropped like 60 on that and was like, all right.
Well, that's like, for two. Right. That was for two. That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true. But yeah, so it's always fun. It's always good.
I know that Saga Toys kind of does, they mark up their prices just a little bit. I mean, they do have to make a little bit of a profit, but
they got to do a return on it. Yeah.
I think it's also the convenience of like seeing the toy, holding it in your hand and like being able to like see the condition of it and stuff. Cause when you're buying online, like eBay, you don't really know what you're getting.
Toss the hat for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of why I feel comfortable spending that money. It's like, and they're also just like a really cool, like independent business, like local business.
They stay stocked too.
They do.
And like, they're always
making
sure. They get new
stuff like weekly.
Yeah. I love going in whenever they have stuff and you're like,
Showed me the guy who like owns that place, this toy store in St. Louis we're talking about. They got in the new Black Series Razor Crest, like the big one.
Yeah.
And he built the hangar from Mando, like the on Tatooine, like the big hangar.
I saw that trend. I saw that on.
He built a hangar to like showcase it in, and it's like really cool.
I think Boba Fett fan club shared that.
Yeah, he must have. Yeah, I wonder if he took a pic and submitted, or somebody there took a pic and submitted
Let me look and see if I can find it. But yeah, we'll keep chatting. That's cool. I dig that. The vintage collection just dropped their new Book of Boba Fett, Boba.
Oh yeah.
And it's rad. It's actually really good. I am disappointed because I wish like the Black Series was that quality. But it looks really good.
I've been kind of having some issues with seeing like a lot of the inconsistencies with the Black Series.
I've been talking about this for a while. Do you follow Yakface on Twitter?
Mm-mm.
They keep up with Hasbro's lines of just Hasbro's premium stuff. And a lot of it is Black Series news. Just because I think them themselves are a fan, but they have kind of been around for the entire Black Series line. And overall, it's been like a general disappointment. Like the Star Wars merchandising community just really has like the community's up, but like the execution of it is really down. People just don't do it as much. And it's stuff like that Razor Crest that you were talking about was a HasLab project, like the Rancor.
That's right. Yeah.
It was supposed to be, it's one of those. So it's like they only do these big shot things and then it's a lot of rebate. Did you see the Black Chrysanthemum that they announced?
Yes. Yeah.
I think it looks like crap. It's a Wookiee. It's a Chewbacca repaint. It's some dumb look at his armor.
He's
looks
just
dumb.
Like a flat black, essentially.
They just gave him a bowcaster, not even the knuckle dusters.
I was like, what the heck is this?
Like I was unhappy with it. So, you know, it'd be like that. People like it, people don't.
I think we got some news to get into. We got a pretty hefty week this week because we have a couple weeks to cover. Wasn't too much going on this week, except for lack of Kenobi news, unfortunately. Still no trailer. It's March 2nd. It comes out in almost 2 months, but still no trailer. But that's all right. But Jackson, what is our first news story of the week?
Yeah, starting off, we got some rumors to talk about. A mystery unannounced Star Wars series got some casting details announced. Latest on this report is that an unknown series comes from the Illuminati, who claims 5 major roles have been sent out via casting sheets. The characters have been given the following code names and details, and I'll just go through them real quick.
Sure.
There's Wyatt, who's about 11. it doesn't matter about, you know, just series regular. Wyatt yearns for great adventure, but finds his attention easily diverted. He wishes to be the hero in any situation he finds himself in. There's Ned, who's also 11, is a series regular and is described as Wyatt's bashful best friend. Ned is the kind with a massive heart, but also tends to be a rules follower. That being said, Ned often finds himself pulled into Wyatt's adventures. There's Faye.
Wreath Silas, go on.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And the first one sounded like Ram. Faye, who is 12 years old, is described as rebellious and extroverted, but as at 12 years old, they already have a chip on their shoulder. There's Kylie, who's also 12, in ethnicity. A series regular is Faye's best friend and is described as serious, intelligent, and keeps her emotions guarded behind a wall. Wow. It's emo kid. Male, 30 to 50 years old. No other details are known about this character, and the project is codenamed Grammar Rodeo. We talked about this recently. Mm-hmm. While the code name might look like word salad for the average reader, fans of The Simpsons have associated the phrase with the joke in the episode Bart on the Road, which involved the title character and several kids and his classmates going on an unauthorized road trip. With that in mind, the story may involve a group of kids going on a similar, recklessly unsupervised adventure taken together. Production is said to start in June and end in December, suggesting a 2023 release on Disney Plus. Is it supposed to be live action?
It is, I think. And I have a question. Do you think this is something? I remember a couple months ago, they talked about there being this mystery High Republic Star Wars project happening. Do you think this is it?
It's funny you said Wreath Silas, because even when I was reading this before we logged on, I thought this sounds like a High Republic. It sounds like High Republic Adventures.
Very High Republic Adventures. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very. And that's pretty rad.
I'm just wondering if the only issue I have, not really issue, but the only like, I don't know if this is true, is because at this point in kind of like the Star Wars, like general fandom, I think High Republic is still kind of like pretty deep cut. Yeah. Like you have to like kind of really be into Star Wars to be familiar with the High Republic. So I wonder if this will either one be their way to like introduce like a broader audience to the High Republic in that era and like these stories, or if, you know, this is more something that's targeted towards people who are already familiar with that and we get like these kind of deeper cut characters in there.
I could very well see action. A bit of both. And I say that because this obviously isn't any characters that we've heard of before. I understand that they're code names as well. You could very well just put like High Republic Adventures is a class of Yoda. It's one of Yoda's classes of Padawans. Just make it another Padawan class, you know?
Yeah.
It's just another group of kids that are together that get pulled into their adventures. I haven't read the most recent couple issues, but the characters of High Republic Adventures are in Midnight Horizon. Like they are like part of the B plot. Is that essentially the split happens. And did you see anything about Race to Crash Point Tower, anything like that? They introduced a new character in that, and he's a big character. It's Ram. It's the Padawan with the goggles, and he's got like the tech kid.
Okay, yeah.
He's got like the little they're a little rat thing. They're called Bonbrax or something, and they're little rats that understand common.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, he's a big character. So it's like him and Wreath, and then the B plot is the High Republic Adventures characters. So I could very well see this just being kind of another take on that, you know?
Yeah, I think.
And use it both to bring in new people into High Republic and, you know, give it to.
I was just going to say, I think this would be fun, even if it's not a High Republic thing. If it was just like a cool thing set in the prequel era or something, I think that would be cool anyway. But I think this next news story, a little bit like, it's still a rumor, but it sort of goes along the lines of what we've been talking about. And there's been talks that the, obviously John Watts, the Spider-Man No Way Home director, Spider-Man Homecoming trilogy director, might be directing this mystery Star Wars series. So the folks at Discussing Film have heard from their sources that Marvel Studios veteran John Watts, the director behind the last three live-action Spider-Man films, might be involved in some capacity with the show, potentially helming at least one episode of the yet-to-be-announced TV series. They also claim that Jon Favreau is said to be executive producing the series. And so far, every bit of info regarding the series points out Lucasfilm treating the project as like a Stranger Things in space kind of deal, kind of set in the High Republic era with the cast mostly consisting of actors in their preteens. So it kind of goes along with what we were talking about in our, the past new, other news story. But does this change anything for you on your perspective of the show with either one, John Watts at the helm, two, Jon Favreau at the helm, or three, it being kind of described as the Stranger Things in space kind of thing?
Stranger Things in space really sets me off. Okay. Allow me to theory ramble, if you don't mind.
Speculate responsibly.
I will keep this as spoiler-free because it kind of goes into Fallen Star. But so Stranger Things in space solely makes me think of the Upside Down and parallel universes. We've talked about phase two of the High Republic going back 150 something years before phase one of Light of the Jedi, which is what, 200 years before Phantom Menace.
Right.
What if this show takes place during phase two of the High Republic and it's dropped a little bit at the end of phase two? Because what, phase two is going to be starting at the end of this year, 2022. Mm-hmm. I expect it to probably end summer going to fall of 2023, maybe end of 2023. If this is speculated to come out in 2023, it drops around the same time. It either has something to do with the overall story, but the point I'm kind of getting to this is that the Stranger Things in space is maybe they're going with some kind of, maybe not necessarily parallel universes, but something that can introduce new people to the High Republic, to where if it's good, like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, imagine people watching this show that comes out and it takes place in phase two of the High Republic, and people are like, wow, the High Republic's really cool. Like, what is this? And everyone can be like, well, actually, like, there's a whole phase one of all this stuff, and here's most of phase two. And then phase three starts. It's maybe another combo of books, shows, maybe a movie. And it happens with enough time that people can catch up with phase one and phase two and be introduced right as phase three kind of goes in. I know that's kind of a weird, like, kind of idea and plan of that, but the Stranger Things in space really sticks out to me because it just makes me feel like it plays into the mystic force thing that the High Republic has been doing this whole time. Especially with hyperspace and the Leveler. That's a big character in Fallen Star. But we'll talk about it too. I want to have like a discussion about Fallen Star.
Because I'm going to do it. I'm going to get there very soon.
But yeah. Yeah. That's my thought. No, this definitely makes me think of, it's a High Republic show. John Watts too, like teen banter. That's definitely High Republic. That's all Midnight Horizon has been, is teen banter.
Yeah.
DJ Older knows how to, you know, just write a cold cut. It's funny.
Yeah. When I think of Stranger Things in space, I more think of like a group of friends or something who, like you said, they have like this really good banter, and like they bounce off of each other really well, and they have to, like, it's them versus X versus something.
It going through the journey of an unexplained event,
yeah,
that involves everybody.
Yeah, so I can, like, I don't know if it necessarily means like there will be like a, you know, other dimensions or parallel universes,
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it, which, doesn't have to be,
you know, but it would be cool. But like, that's what I think they're more going towards of, and Stranger Things in space. But either way, I think this series has a lot of potential to be really cool if it's done right with John Watts at the helm. I mean, that means they're definitely going for like that cool, you know, just the kind of like films he does where it's like the high school, like awkward teen years.
Yeah.
You know,
very the 80s,
relatable.
Yeah. Yeah. Brat Pack movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think it'll be really cool. I would love to hopefully hear more about that soon and kind of learn about it. I can't get enough of the High Republic.
John Hughes in space.
John Hughes in space. Could you imagine?
Cool. But what is next?
Up next, we got Mandalorian. Pedro Pascal has briefly talked about the third season of The Mandalorian while talking to the German magazine Neelix.
Mandalorian.
Hat tip screen rant. He gave the usual talk about how much he enjoys the story he's the star of, but he's also noted that the next season will introduce a number of characters new to the series. Quote, okay, there will be some familiar faces and there will be a lot of new faces. In addition, there is, again, a lot of action, a really great story. Who can we expect to show up for Mando season 3? I think the new characters that they're going to talk about, especially a lot of new characters, I think we're going to be seeing Mando build as Creed.
Ooh, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood in space, and anybody?
We get like introduced to like a crew, and it's like this group of Mandalorians. Maybe Boba's involved.
Dude, yeah, like these ragtag group of Mandalorians.
Like Boba sends them on missions.
Nice.
Boba's running Tatooine. He's like, I need you to do this job for me.
Do you think that season 3 will be more, because the past two seasons have been very Mandalorian has this mission with Grogu and like it's very focused on like here's the Force, here's like some Jedi tied in, here's like some fan favorites. Do you think this next season will rely a lot on that kind of stuff still of like the Jedi with, you know, or maybe we're visiting Luke again or something like that? Or do you think this season will take some time to focus more on Mando and his arc and his story?
Bit of both. I think the overall goal is going to be about Mando and his growth being King of Mandalore. And they've already started kind of hinting at that and building with that with those Book of Boba Fett episodes. You know, the whole duel with Paz Vizsla, like that is definitely going to be introduced with Mando season 3. Mm-hmm. You know, I bet you that'll be a thing throughout the season, is that people keep challenging him. And it's not that he necessarily wants to win. He just knows that like, he's just trying not to die. And he keeps winning these fights. And like, he's like, I don't want this, you know, but he's kind of burdened by it. Which I think that'll be really cool. And then it'll also play in. I think totally like he won't want to be the king. So he tries to bring Grogu back. Or I guess he has Grogu now with whatever they're doing. God, I don't know. Book of Boba Fett threw me through such a loop with just making it the first three episodes of Mando.
You're still in like, oh, what happened to Grogu? Oh, wait, we already know what happened.
Like, oh, never mind.
You know?
Be like, yeah, there's no mystery
that's
now.
Why, I know, that's why like my anticipation for season 3 of Mando like has gone way down, which is good though, because that means we will be pleasantly surprised whenever like really cool things do happen. It's like, whoa, yeah. I didn't think this season would be like this, you know?
I think they're going to build a lot. I hope to see faces like Sabine Wren. I hope to see faces like, did Sabine Wren's mother, I wonder if she survived the Purge.
I don't know.
But
I know they do have a live action Sabine Wren now cast for Ahsoka. So I think
we'll definitely see Sabine Wren. She'll end up linking with Mando. I don't know if she'll be on his crew, but I think she'll be a part of it. We'll get more Bo-Katan. I want to know more about the Purge. I want to see it. And I hope that is kind of what is discussed throughout the season.
We kind of did, but
I want to know like exactly how it went down and like how did Bo-Katan lead it, you know? Like what I especially want to see, at least the interaction of Bo-Katan losing it to Moff Gideon.
Yeah.
Cause it kind of insinuates that he stole it. But yeah. I love that. Some of my favorite shots of Book of Boba Fett was the Night of a Thousand Tears.
Yeah.
Obsessed with that style of lore.
I'm wondering, do you think we're going to get like a, how big of, because I'm assuming we're getting a time jump. How big of a time jump do you think we're getting for season three? I think it'll like be a year, 2 years, yeah, something year like that.
I agree.
I don't see them picking up right where Book of Boba Fett left off or anything like that.
No, give it some time. Let everyone establish themselves. My question is, since Mando and Grogu are together, where do they go next? You know,
well, they still have, they technically still have Moff Gideon to deal with.
Well, he's with the New Republic.
I know, but I think
he'll get out.
They will find a way. Cause I mean, Giancarlo Esposito is already signed on and like shooting Mando season three.
Yeah,
so like
that's true.
Something happens with him for sure.
And I think too, they're going to talk about like Mando not understanding that Grogu made a choice.
I wonder if he finds out that he's like, oh wait, but oh crap.
He's going to feel guilty about it.
And he's going to try to take him back to Luke.
I agree,
man. Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity for some really cool storytelling.
Yeah, I agree.
But kind of moving on here, the next news story here. So there is a Star Wars synopsis for the Obi-Wan comic that was revealed, announced, I guess you would say, a couple weeks ago, written by Christopher Cantwell, who wrote Doctor Doom, of course, and art by Ario Anandito, who has done some art for The High Republic and things like that. The new run will kick off in May and take place in the weeks prior to the events of A New Hope. And here's the synopsis. As he spends his final days in the remote deserts of Tatooine, Obi-Wan takes time to reflect on and record key moments of a heroic life long lived. Writing in old leather-bound journals from his hermit's hut, Obi-Wan remembers his days as a young Jedi initiate, his trials as a Padawan and the crucible of Jedi knighthood in the Clone Wars, and some of the earliest challenges he faced as a true master of the Force. In this tale, Obi-Wan considers a watershed youngling adventure he narrowly survived on Coruscant when he was but 8 years of age. But this is just the beginning of his Jedi journey. So, first off, what's kind of your reaction to this synopsis? And do you think it has any potential to connect to the Kenobi series?
I think maybe a soft reference. Because I think this is going to be more like, this makes me think of the novel. I know we have that as a news piece, but the Padawan novel that's coming out.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll be more connected with that rather than the Kenobi show. Sure. Just time frame wise. But it's cool. It would be cool to see like if the comic replicates the set exactly, like the set of Obi-Wan's hut and like all the things that he has. Like maybe Obi-Wan gets something from the show and we see it in the comic.
That'd be fun.
That's kind of more what I see.
Yeah, I imagine it being like this kind of like, I don't know how many people would remember this, but we talked about like the if there was like a solo Lando show and it was kind of just, or like even with the Lando show, it started out with like old man Lando, like sitting at a bar. He's like, yeah, I got a story to tell you, kid. And then it flashes back. I think it's going to be very much that vibe of like, we see like the first two pages of Obi-Wan in his hut and he's like,
he's old and he's just
sits
pondering.
Down and he's like making his soup and like sits down with
his
journal.
There's not much to do here on the sand planet these days. So
yeah,
I just
sits down with his
wall.
Journal, licks the tip of his quill.
Captain's log.
And here we go. When I was a wee lad, it'll be very much a little moment, then a big flashback for an issue, and then a little moment, then a big flashback for a whole issue, and it'll be like that, I think, which is cool. I mean, I'm down with that. Cool. I'll get jiggy with it. So, it just makes me think. It would be so fun to see this kind of stuff live action in the Kenobi show too. Like if we just, it is called Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Do you think we will get a CG Ewan Alec Guinness face horror?
No, please no, for the love of God. Just deep fake Alec Guinness or just use Ewan. I don't need a weird morphing of both of them.
Sprinkle it together. It's like an Oreo.
It's just going to be you and McGregor, but they just give him big ears.
And he's got like really gaunt, like.
Oh my God. It's me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Jesus.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I think this comic sounds fun, and I don't really, you know, keep up with the comics, but this sounds very enticing.
Yeah, I'll check it out. So, I'll probably get an issue or, it's only five.
I'll probably end up using the YouTubes to check it out.
Yeah, I'll probably watch all of it, but get one of them.
Well, cool. So, what do we got next?
Well, cool. Up next, Star Wars Andor has signed a composer. We're going to be having Nicholas Brittle for composing the Rogue One prequel series. Brittle is the mastermind behind the score of Succession, which I've never actually checked out.
I haven't either.
I've heard it's very good, including its main theme, one of the most iconic themes from the last few years.
Which we've never heard.
Which we've never heard. In addition, he's also done Moonlight, If Beale Street Could Talk. I think he's also done...
So like Barry Jenkins films, like that
vibe.
Yeah,
yeah. Which that's cool. I dig that. Honestly.
And he also did Don't Look Up. Yeah. Did you see Don't Look Up?
Yes, I did.
I mean, I know this isn't a movie review podcast, but... I was indifferent on that movie, but anyway,
were you really?
I thought the music was kind of cool, which is good. But what do you think about him signing on and being the composer for Andor?
This Succession main theme.
Are we going to get that Giacchino Rogue One vibe, or are we getting something new?
I'm listening to his stuff.
This is great radio. We're just listening to Jackson listen.
It does have a hint of Giacchino to it. I thought it wasn't going to. The Succession main theme does not have Michael Giacchino to it, but but listening to Moonlight, and then this is the extended version of Succession. Oh wow, yeah, it's different. It's a little more, I don't want to say poppy, but like, I don't know, Michael Giacchino is very much known for his strings. And while the Moonlight score was very much strings, it all kind of had this echoey sensation to it. So like, I could see the score to this being bright and aspiring, if that makes sense, which makes sense for this first season of Andor trying to become like a high ranking Rebels official.
Yeah, they did shoot like that weird, like, remember that one, those one set photos we saw, and it was almost like a weird carnival thing.
Yeah.
Like weird shop with like postcards and stuff.
It's a lot of jazz.
Yeah.
Succession and Don't Look Up is a lot of jazz. So
I'm wondering if this is like, if this is going to be, give this show a very, like, it's not going to be just like a copy paste of Rogue One. I think it's going to like really speak to Andor as a character, I hope. And like really separate him as a character from like Rogue One and like make him his own.
This song, I found, this is a Succession song. This sounds very Rogue One. Adante in C minor. This is very Rogue One, where it's kind of like a march, but it's not like heavy drums. It's just like a cello and a couple strings.
Gotcha.
That's cool. Yeah, I dig that. That's pretty good. I am excited to see what he can craft. I love music score.
Speaking of music scores,
yeah, what do we got?
We
next?
Got John Williams back to compose the main theme for Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Let's go.
Let's go. So 2.5 years after he gifted us the score of Rise of Skywalker, of course.
Pulling another solo on us.
Oh, yeah. Variety has now confirmed that John Williams composed and conducted the recording of a new main theme for the upcoming Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Yes, yes, all of the yes, gimme that. For now, it is unknown who the main composer of the series will be, but Variety is saying that the music is being recorded right now in London, and apparently Williams recorded his music last week in Los Angeles. And according to Variety, this was done under strict security. So obviously they don't want any kind of leaks getting out. And it also means that this main theme for Kenobi is about to go hard. That thing about to go crazy.
Any Obi-Wan themes already? Like, is there any?
I can't think of, like, whenever I think of like Obi-Wan theme, there's nothing I can think of.
Let me look at Phantom Menace and see if he's got some kind of... I expect it to go What if it's like a duel of the fates?
You're kind of
like,
giving me a revelation right now, because I've never thought about the fact that Obi-Wan doesn't really have a theme.
I saw a tweet that said that the Force theme was originally supposed to be Obi-Wan's theme, but since Obi-Wan was kind
Luke,
of
Luke though,
but since Obi-Wan was essentially supposed to be the gateway into the Force, and like Luke's kind of open door to that, they decided to make that song like the Force theme. Yeah. Oh wait. What is? I'm listening to Qui-Gon's Noble End, and I want to see if it's some kind of like musical motif that could play that, like maybe John's expanding off of that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just going to give Obi-Wan a new thing.
You know, I think it's going to be cool. Yeah, I hope
he writes a thing and it's going to slap. We're going to have it on Spotify on our liked songs. And we're going to be like, heck yeah. And then go subscribe to Through Imperial Eyes when you're done listening to that.
We'll sing it for you. When it comes out, we'll just have an episode we'll drop where it's just us singing it.
I think it's cool that he composed and conducted that, like the whole main theme, because it'll be nice to know that, like, you know, how long has it been? 45 years almost? 45 years since A New Hope came out. And he's like still... like on the anniversary, we'll be hearing a new John Williams piece for Star Wars. Right. Like that's amazing. I love that. But cool. What do we got up next?
Star Wars Timelines, a visual guide for the entire canon history, is announced. A new visual guide from DK Publishing, Star Wars Timelines, arrives this November. This will be the ultimate canon encyclopedia, drawing from the films, including the Clone Wars movie, live action and animated series, books, comics, video games, and other media. For now, it is unknown if the Star Wars Timelines will be updated periodically as the franchise continues to evolve with new content nonstop. We also don't know which projects coming this year will be included in the guide. I bet you this will come out next year post Mando season 3. I lied before Mando season 3.
Yeah, I'm going to say before, because if it's November, I don't see Mando season 3
but
coming
it's gonna
out
have
until
everything that came out prior to it. Even if that includes Ahsoka and Bad Batch season 2.
First off,
it gonna be thick.
Yeah, this is something that like I've wanted for a long time. Is like something that's just like you look in one place and here's the whole canonical timeline with all the events, and it's just like you don't miss anything because it's all the books, the video games, the movies, the animated series, the comics. Everything you need will be right there and broken down for you. That's why I think they've probably been working on this thing for
ever.
I'm sure at least a year now.
And books of that nature come out all the time. One just came out, the Star Wars Year by Year. It came out a couple months ago, and it was essentially the same style, but it was all through the impact of Star Wars, the merchandising, the release dates and all that. The Mando season 2 art of book just came out. I'm trying to get that one.
Do you have any of the art of books?
No, not yet. I have like an original Return of the Jedi one.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of beat up. And then I have an old encyclopedia that was like Revenge of the Sith times. And then I just bought Everything You Need to Know Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those, yeah.
It's Force Awakens. It's like that era.
I have that, I think I actually have two copies of that, because one year for Christmas, two people got me that.
Yeah. They haven't done a Rise of Skywalker. Actually, I don't know if they do have a Rise of Skywalker one. They have Last Jedi like encyclopedia dictionaries.
Oh, they have a Rise of Skywalker, the visual dictionary.
They don't have like an official big one that's Rise of Skywalker updated. It's only up to like Last Jedi. You got to buy that. And then the Rise of Skywalker encyclopedia. It's like, if you're going to make them big ones, you got to keep up with it. How long has it been since that movie came out? What? Four years?
Rise of Skywalker, it's coming up. It's coming up in 3 years.
Okay.
This year will be 3 years.
This will be 3 years. 2019. Yeah, you're right.
But
I was thinking 2018.
Again, very cool. It'd be a very cool like coffee table book, just something you can have around.
Yeah,
like,
that'll be rad.
Yeah, something you can just like, if you're ever just like, I wonder if they ever talked about that in a comic, or if this character was in this comic, you could probably go to this thing and be like, all right, let's look at these comics. All right, what we got? You know, it'll be something kind of fun like that that you can kind of cross reference and study if you're ever doing some Star Wars trivia too. It'd be good to do. But up next here, we got our boy Ian McDiarmid. It was indicating that Palpatine could return in stories set before the Rise of Skywalker. So while speaking to Metro, McDiarmid noted that Palpatine is indeed dead for good in Star Wars Rise of Skywalker and that he didn't have any backup clones, hence his initial bloated, rotting appearance while hooked up to a crane that doubled as life support, or any additional secret contingency plans. However, he indicated that appearing in any story set before the end of the movie is something he's open to doing, although he would not confirm his involvement with any future projects. He said, quote, "I think I have to accept that. Thanks for my ungrateful granddaughter, Rey Skywalker. My annihilation was finally final. But of course, Darth Vader is back in the new Obi-Wan Kenobi television series, so I suppose it's not impossible that one day his mentor might be discovered once again skulking in the shadows." This interview, of course, comes ahead of the release of the Kenobi series, which is set between Revenge of the Sith and New Hope. And obviously, there's some fair game for some Palps to come back and show up. Do you think that it's possible to see Palpatine in Kenobi?
I kind of assumed it. I kind of assumed that we were going to see him for sure. I would totally expect the first Vader scene is him with Palpatine.
I could give you I think it's a 99.99% chance that he will at least, at the very, very least, show up in a hologram call with Darth Vader.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe like a voice.
Didn't we actually see concept art of that?
He's sitting in like his chambers, but there's no hologram, but he's definitely like sitting, and it would be the location where you would see a hologram. Yeah, so that makes sense. Maybe
he's
maybe
definitely
like
showing up.
Palpatine calls him at Vader's castle.
Hey,
Vader.
I'm at Jack in the Box. What do you want?
don't tell the Inquisitors. It's just you and me. We'll have to sneak into the bathroom and eat it really fast. Don't let them know.
I'm getting the ultimate cheeseburger and a side of mini churros.
Fine's Grand Inquisitor walks in. Oh, hey, boss. What are you doing?
I would like the loaded tacos, please. Thank you.
Please give me curly fries.
Are you getting Jack in the Box? Lord Vader.
It's like a robot chicken bit.
This is just Tarkin wedding Death Star happy meals. No, Tarkin.
Vader, what are you saying? I'm at Jack in the Box, please.
Oh, man, does that mean I can't get a large Sprite cranberry?
I want Robot Chicken to make a new special. That's...
Dude, there needs to be a Star Wars sequels Robot Chicken.
I know. It's updated with all the shows.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But, oh, my goodness.
You know, I think it's quite possible, it is quite operational, that I think it's quite possible that we will see him as Palpatine again in this Kenobi series in person, in the flesh. Now, I don't know, because I don't know how much time Vader would... I guess he would spend a lot of time in person with old Uncle Palps, so I don't know.
Uncle Palps.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Vader, aren't you supposed to be with the Emperor? Yeah, he kicked me out. I kept saying wizard. He told me to spend a week here at Vader's castle.
Well, very cool. I think it'd be cool to see old Ian McDiarmid back in their old robes again. But what is our last news story here?
Our last piece, which I kind of mentioned earlier, Disney revealed the cover for their new novel, Padawan, which is focused on young Obi-Wan Kenobi training with Qui-Gon Jinn. The official synopsis...
Sorry?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Okay. Just didn't know who you're talking about there for a second.
What did I say before? Qui-Gon Jinn.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
I know. I wanted to say Gin, but then I was like, Jinn. Obi-Wan Kenobi really wants to be a good Padawan. The best Padawan, even. But that's feeling more and more impossible with his new master, Qui-Gon Jinn. All of Obi-Wan's friends are off training. All of Obi-Wan's friends are training to be real Jedi, getting mission experience while he's still on Coruscant, practicing his forms and sitting in silence and contemplation.
Remind you of somebody? Bells out of fire.
Yeah, right. Ever since Qui-Gon's former master, Dooku, left the Order, hey, Master, sorry your master kind of ended up being a nerd, left the Order. It feels like Qui-Gon has been too busy trying to connect with the Force or arguing with the Jedi Council to properly train his Padawan. When Obi-Wan finally convinces Qui-Gon to take him on a mission to a remote planet once explored by ancient Jedi, his master doesn't show up the morning they leave. So Obi-Wan impulsively takes off by himself. Upon arriving on the mysterious lush planet, he encounters a group of teenagers with no adult supervision. Nice. This book's taking a weird turn. And all-
hold on. What's going on here, Jackson? I don't know if you... I don't want you to continue.
I have the right synopsis.
Did
here.
We download the right synopsis?
So Obi-Wan impulsively takes off by himself. I'm reading the same. And all who seem to have some connection to the Force, free from the constraints of the Order, Obi-Wan joins them in their daring adventures, but the Padawan side of him keeps questioning the teen's strange relationship to the Force. This does sound like a weird book, and to the verdant planet around them and what all of it might mean to his future. Obi-Wan will test the limits of his relationship to the Jedi and to the Force, and this exciting yet soulful exploration of one Star Wars' most enduring heroes. In Star Wars' new book, which is written by Kirsten White's first Star Wars novel, will be releasing July 26, 2022, Obi-Wan, Padawan, and Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, so I'm not going to lie. I thought I legitimately thought that I was like, oh crap, I copy and pasted the wrong synopsis, because like, I kind of skimmed it over. I was like, all right, he's just sick of Qui-Gon. Okay, yeah. Copy, paste, put it in the rundown. I didn't realize that it was, he goes off with no adult supervision.
Yeah. He finds a group of teenagers with wacky powers.
He's like, hey guys, it's a death sticks.
They all have a bond with each other. And they do a lot of grunting when they're alone at night.
It's going to be midsummer in space, dude.
Jesus Christ, that took such a turn.
This is something that like, this sounds so crazy that I want to read it.
Yeah,
like it sounds so weird that I want to read, because like I was expecting like a master and apprentice type.
Yeah,
book.
Yeah, I agree. And this makes me want to. I plan to read Master and Apprentice soon. And
I have it on my phone. Yeah,
I'm going to try and read it before this comes out. So when I kind of expect it to reference it in some shape or form.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Kirsten White writes young Obi-Wan, because we haven't seen like young Obi-Wan.
Well, and I think it's funny because like in Phantom Menace, Obi-Wan's kind of, I don't know, shitty. But Master, I don't want to be on this sand planet. This sucks.
Well, it sounds like he's like this.
You
were
right. The negotiations were short. Like, okay, Obi-Wan, leave me alone. People are shooting at us all day. Like, what do you want me to say?
This sounds like Obi-Wan's going to be like, but Master, I'm going to go on the cool missions. You know?
You remember that TikTok sign of the Pinocchio? When am I going to go and be on my own?
That's Obi-Wan in this, in this book. We're definitely have to read and review this now, because it's
going to be awesome.
Oh my gosh. All kidding aside, I think this does sound like a lot of fun. It sounds kind of High Republic-y in its vibe, which is kind of cool. And I'm really interested to see what a young, like I'm assuming like a 17, 18 year old Obi-Wan will be like.
Yeah.
Just like, obviously we know him as like this kind of tough, young, wise Jedi knight. We don't really know him as like a,
I can't place him with any Padawan. Other kind of character that we've seen of who he would be like, you know?
Yeah. I'm getting
It'll be interesting to see what he was.
It'd be interesting if like they kind of gave him Anakin vibes.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so grumpy with Anakin. Cause he sees Anakin being like, he is how like he was.
He's like, God, he's just, his PTSD. He's like, don't remind me. Can you just stop? You're giving me
after
problems.
Anakin kills the younglings first time, huh?
Well, thank you for listening.
I think that's about all we got for you. But anyway, that will do it for us for this week. I know we just kind of went through like the main news topics from the past couple weeks, since we did miss last week, unfortunately, but we're going to try to keep up with it for you guys, so you guys can keep up to date on all the Star Wars news. But until then, you can always find us on Instagram at Through Imperialized Pod, Twitter at Imperialized Pod, and of course YouTube through Imperial Eyes Podcast. Jackson, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Quacks and Scaling. That's Q-U-A-C-K-S-O-N and Scaling like the triangle. Then you can follow my photography Instagram, which is at Daleen _ photography. It's D-A-L-E-E-N _ photograph. Braden, what about you? What'd
and
you
as
watch?
Always, you can find me on Instagram at Braden Ledbetter and on Twitter at Bradathalon. Suit I'm watching, suit I'm reviewing over there on Letterboxd at B Ledbetter, and suit I'm doing in the video world over there at VAT19 on YouTube. And don't forget to check out our Apple Podcasts, our Spotify, our what are the else we got? We got the Overcast, we got Google Podcasts, we got other stuff. Subscribe to all of them, rate and review on all of them. It's really does help out the show whenever you do that, so please do that. And we'll be back over here next week talking about some more Star Wars news. Hopefully we'll get that Fallen Star Imperial Book Club going here in the next couple weeks. But I think until we see you then, may the Force be with you.